Welcome back, everyone, for another deep dive with us.
It's great to be back.
Today, we're going to be looking at education.
Oh, yeah. A big one.
It is a big one.
For sure.
And we are going to be taking a look at
a
1980s episode of Milton Friedman's Free to Choose.
Yes.
And this one is about education.
Mm-hmm.
And just to give everybody a little background,
yes, sir.
Milton Friedman was a very well-known economist.
Right.
I guess kind of a libertarian.
Free markets.
Free markets.
Yeah.
Individual liberty.
Yep.
And so he had this show called Free to Choose, and this is one of the episodes from that.
It's interesting how these things come back around. Like all the things that they were debating in the 80s are still things that we're debating now.
Right.
Yeah.
It's interesting, too, because he starts out this episode by contrasting two high schoolers.
All right.
One is Hyde Park High School in Boston.
Okay.
And it shows, you know, some of the problems that they were having there.
Which were?
You know, just, I think, under-resourced.
Yeah.
They were having some security issues.
Not a lot of parent power in that school.
Right. And
then
he contrasts that with Weston High School.
Okay.
Which is in a wealthy suburb of Boston.
Right.
And it's like this beautiful campus.
Yeah. The kids are all, you know, doing science projects and going to the, you know.
Yeah.
The football game. And
And so it's this really stark contrast that he's setting up.
But he's setting up this idea of control.
Right.
Like, who has control over the education?
And so this is kind of where I want to pause and ask our listeners to think about, you know, the schools in their local communities.
Right.
Do you see any of these same kinds of
disparities?
You know, are there schools that are really well funded?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in more affluent areas.
Right.
And then other schools that are struggling.
That are under-resourced.
Yeah. And how does that make you feel?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that Friedman points out is this idea that, you know, we used to have this, you know, kind of idyllic vision of the one-room schoolhouse in Vermont.
Right. Yeah.
Where parents had a lot of control over their kids' education.
Yeah.
And so how much control do you feel like you have over your kids' education now?
Right. And that's where he's going with this. He wants to set up this idea that parents should have more control over their kids' education.
Right.
And he thinks that the public school system, as it exists now, doesn't really allow for that.
Right.
So what are some of the criticisms that he has of the public school system?
Well, he thinks that the public school system is too bureaucratic.
Right.
That it's not really set up to meet the needs of individual students.
Right.
And that it's basically failing a lot of kids.
Yeah. And I think he, especially low-income families.
Yeah. And so he sees that as a real
problem.
Yeah.
Because he says, you know, we're spending all this taxpayer money on this system that's not really working.
Right.
And he sees that as a form of injustice.
Right.
You know, because the people who are most affected by it are the people who can least afford to, you know, send their kids to private schools or find other alternatives.
Exactly. You and know. So his solution to this is a voucher system.
Right.
And essentially what a voucher system would do is it would give parents money that they could then use to send their child to any school.
Any school that they want.
That they want, whether it's public or private.
Public, private, charter.
Right. No. So he's saying that that would create competition among schools.
Competition is good.
Right. And that would then lead to...
Would lead to better quality.
Better quality.
More innovation.
Right. And more choices for parents.
More choices for everybody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But of course...
Of course.
This is a very controversial idea.
Extremely controversial.
And so in the episode, he talks to a variety of people.
He does.
Who have different perspectives on
this. Yes, yes. He talks to teachers.
Yeah. Right.
Union reps. Yeah. He talks to other economists.
Yeah.
Education experts.
Right.
School administrators.
Mm-hmm.
All sorts of people.
And they have a lot of concerns about this idea of a voucher system.
Yeah, they do.
So what are some of those concerns that they raise?
Well, one of the big concerns is that private schools would just cherry pick the best students.
Right.
You know, the kids who are already doing well.
Right.
The kids who come from families that are, you know, supportive of their education.
Right.
And they would leave the public schools to deal with all the kids who are, you know, maybe struggling. Mm-hmm. Maybe they have learning disabilities or behavioral problems or whatever. And so That's what they call cream skimming.
Right.
Right.
They're skimming off the cream of the crop and leaving the public schools with, you know, everybody else.
Right.
And they're concerned that that would actually make the inequalities in the system even worse.
Right. Because then you would have this kind of two-tiered system where the private schools are getting better and better and the public schools are
struggling even more.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting because, you know, Friedman's whole thing is about choice.
And freedom.
Right. But his critics are saying, well, is it really choice?
If only certain people have the means
to
actually exercise that choice.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
If you can't afford to send your kid to a private school, then what good is a voucher to you?
Right. And it's not just about money.
No.
Right. I mean, it's also about...
It's also about information.
Information.
You know, do you know what schools are out there? Mm. Do you know how to evaluate them?
Yeah.
Do you have the time to... You know, go visit them and talk to the teachers and all that kind of stuff.
Right. And so I think.
So it's not as simple as just, you know, throwing money at the problem and saying, okay, now everybody has choice.
Exactly.
It's more complicated than that.
So there's a lot to unpack here.
There is.
And we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to delve into some more of the arguments for and against this voucher system.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back.
And another concern they brought up. You know, is that this could actually lead to more segregation in the schools?
Yeah, if people are able to choose schools based on...
Right, like their religious beliefs or you know, the racial makeup of the school or the socioeconomic, you know...
Background
of the students.
Right.
So, you know, that's a real worry,
yeah.
is that this could actually make things more segregated.
Right, and so it's not just about, you know, the kids in the schools. It's also about...
The community. Right.
Right. Like, how would this impact, you know?
Yeah, how would it affect?
Property values. Right.
Transportation.
You know, access to extracurricular activities.
Yeah.
All of those things. Yeah.
And then, you know, another thing that they brought up is this idea that, you know, are parents really equipped to make these decisions?
To make informed decisions about education.
About their kids' education.
Right.
You know, do they have the expertise, the knowledge to really know what's best for their kids?
Right.
And you know, they're saying, well, look, we have professional educators who have, you know, spent years studying this.
Yeah.
And they're the ones.
Right. Who should be making these decisions?
And I think, you know, it goes back to that point about information.
Right.
Like, do parents have access to
the right information?
The right information to be able to make these choices.
Yeah. And are they, you know,
being
given unbiased information?
Right.
You know, is it, are they being influenced by, you know, marketing campaigns or political agendas or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's a complicated issue.
So it's not just about choice. It's also about making sure that people have the information they need to make.
Informed choices. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and then, you know, another thing that they talked about is poverty.
Right.
You know, like,
how does that
factor into all this?
Right.
You know, because a lot of the problems that we see in education are really rooted in poverty.
Yeah. Like kids who are coming to school hungry.
Right.
Kids who are,
you know,
dealing with trauma at home.
Kids who don't have stable housing.
You know, all those kinds of things.
Out of that.
And so they're saying, you know, a voucher system is not going to fix those problems.
Right.
It's not going to magically make poverty go away.
So are we just putting a Band-Aid on a bigger problem?
Right. Is it just a way to kind of, you know, make ourselves feel better?
Avoid the real issue.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
So that's a, you know,
a
big concern.
So they're not saying that choice is bad. They're just saying that we need to be careful.
We need to be mindful.
About how we implement
it. Of the unintended consequences.
Right, yeah. Okay, so Friedman also, in this episode, points to some specific examples of programs that he thinks are doing things right.
Okay.
One of them is the Inner City Scholarship Fund in New York.
All right.
And this is a program that provides scholarships to low-income students.
Okay. To attend private schools.
Right.
And he says that these schools
are doing a great job.
Are doing a great job.
Yeah.
The kids are
thriving.
Thriving. They're outperforming.
Outperforming their peers.
Their peers in public schools.
Yeah.
And he says this is proof.
That choice works.
Choice works.
Yeah. Okay.
And he also talks about Harlem Prep.
Okay.
Which was a storefront school
mm-hmm.
that was started in the 60s.
Okay.
And it was very successful.
Okay.
They had, you know, yeah. high graduation rates.
Yeah.
The kids were going on to college.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was eventually absorbed into the public school system.
Okay.
And then it declined.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he uses that as an example of
yeah.
how bureaucracy can stifle innovation.
Stifle innovation.
Yeah.
So he's saying that.
He's saying that, you know, when you have these kind of
yeah.
independent schools
yeah.
that are free from
the constraints of the bureaucracy,
right?
They can be more innovative.
Yeah.
They can be more responsive
yeah.
to the needs of students.
To the needs of students and to the needs of parents.
Right.
Right.
And so, you know,
yeah.
he sees that as...
As a positive thing.
As a positive thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, of course, you know, he also acknowledges that...
That there have been.
That there have been cases where choice hasn't worked out so well.
Right.
And one of the examples that he gives is...
The Lomrock experiment.
The Lomrock experiment in California.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a program.
Yeah, back in the 70s.
Yeah.
They tried a voucher system.
Yeah. And it didn't.
And it didn't really work out.
Really work out the way they hoped.
The way they hoped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, what's interesting about that is that...
It shows that it's not a simple solution.
Right.
You know?
Just because you give people choice.
Just because you give people vouchers.
Doesn't mean that.
Doesn't mean that.
Everything's going to be great.
Everything's going to be magically fixed.
Right.
Yeah, huh?
And so I think, you know, that's an important caveat to keep in mind.
Keeps me in mind.
As we're thinking about these issues.
Because it's not a black and white issue.
Right.
It's very nuanced.
Yeah. Okay, so we've been talking a lot about K through 12.
Mm-hmm.
But Friedman also has some thoughts on
higher education.
Higher education.
Yeah.
And he's not a big fan.
He is not.
Of state-funded colleges and universities.
Yes, he's not.
So why is that?
Well, he thinks that they're
yeah.
basically a subsidy for the wealthy.
Okay.
He says that, you know, lower income taxpayers mm-hmm. are essentially paying for
yeah.
the education of people who are going to go on to earn higher incomes.
Right.
So he sees that as a form of
yeah.
regressive taxation.
So he's saying it's basically a transfer of wealth.
Right. From the poor.
From the poor.
To the rich.
To the rich.
Wow.
Yeah. And so he thinks that.
We should move away from that system
okay.
and instead have a system of loans
okay.
where students are responsible for...
For their own education.
For their own education.
Okay.
You know? Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's a very controversial idea.
Very controversial.
But it's one that's worth considering.
It's worth thinking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what are the arguments against that?
Well, one okay. of the big arguments against that is
yeah.
that loans create a barrier
yeah.
for low-income students.
Especially if
yeah.
you're already struggling to make ends meet.
Right.
The idea of taking on tens of thousands of dollars of
yeah.
debt.
It can be very daunting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it might deter you from even going to college in the first place.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because, you know, Friedman's whole thing is about...
Individual responsibility.
Individual responsibility.
Yeah.
But...
His critics are saying.
But there are also societal benefits
yeah.
to education.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
An educated workforce.
Benefits everybody.
Benefits everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they're saying, you know, the government has a role to play.
Right.
In making sure that.
Everybody has access.
Everybody has access.
Has access to education.
To education.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, too, because, you know, he talks about how.
Yeah.
The government shouldn't be subsidizing.
Right.
Things that
that primarily benefit
the wealthy. The wealthy.
Yeah.
But his critics would say, well,
hold on a second.
Yeah.
The government subsidizes all sorts of things.
Right.
That benefit corporations.
That benefit wealthy individuals.
You know,
yeah.
tax breaks.
Yeah.
Subsidies for,
yeah.
you know, oil companies.
Right.
All that kind of stuff.
Right.
So why are we picking on education?
All right.
Why is that the one that
yeah.
we're saying, oh, well,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
that's too much government involvement.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's a complicated issue. So it's not just about, you know, individual responsibility. It's also about
societal responsibility.
Societal responsibility.
Yeah. yeah.
And I think, you know, this is where
yeah.
we can start to think about
yeah.
how these ideas play out.
In our own community.
In our own community.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, what's the landscape of higher education like
yeah.
in your community?
Are there a mix of public and private?
Yeah. Do you have community colleges?
Community colleges, yeah.
You have?
State universities?
State universities, yeah.
Private universities.
And how affordable are they?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Are there scholarships available?
Yeah.
For low-income students?
Are there, yeah. You know, programs to help?
Help people.
People pay for college?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, one of the things that Friedman talks about
yeah.
is that
yeah.
He thinks that
yeah.
students should be more responsible for
right.
paying for their own education.
Right.
But he also says that.
But he also
think that
everybody should go to college.
Everybody needs to go to college.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's an interesting point because we have this.
We have this kind of
yeah.
assumption in our society.
Yeah, that everybody has to go to college.
But everybody has to go to college.
To be successful.
To be successful.
And Friedman's saying.
And he's saying, well,
yeah,
maybe not.
Maybe not.
Maybe there are other paths
right.
to success.
Like trade schools.
Like trade schools.
Apprenticeships.
Apprenticeships, yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
And so I think, you know, that's something worth thinking about.
Yeah. What are the options in your community?
Yeah.
For people who don't want to go to college
yeah.
or who can't afford to go to college.
Right.
You know,
are there opportunities for them?
To get the skills they need.
To get the skills they need.
Yeah.
To get good jobs.
To have a good life. Yeah. And I think, you know, this is where we can start to think about
yeah.
how all of these ideas that we've been talking about
right.
connect back.
To our own lives.
To our own lives.
To our own communities.
To our own communities.
Yeah.
Right? So let's think about vouchers for a moment.
Okay.
One of the things that Friedman
yeah.
talks about
yeah.
is parental control.
Right.
He thinks that parents...
These are the best judges.
Oh, okay.
Of their kids' needs.
More control over their kids' education.
Yeah.
But as we've been discussing...
But as we've discussed...
Yeah.
That raises some...
That raises some...
Equity issues.
Equity issues.
Yeah. Like, right. are we really empowering all parents equally?
Right.
Or are we just empowering
yeah.
the parents who are already...
Already privileged.
Privileged and well-informed.
And well-informed.
Yeah.
So think about the parents in your community.
Mm-hmm.
Do they all have equal access?
To information.
To information about schools.
About the different options.
Right.
That are available.
Would they be able to navigate
right.
a choice system?
A complicated choice system.
Right.
Sure. Especially if they
yeah. face language barriers.
Look at they...
Or if they have limited time.
Lack transportation.
Or if they, you know,
yeah.
just don't have the resources
yeah.
to, you know,
yeah.
do all the research and
yeah.
the legwork that's involved.
So it's not just about giving people choice. It's also about making sure that they have the support.
The support they need.
And they need
to actually
yeah.
make use of that choice.
To make informed choices.
Yeah.
And then, of course...
And then, of course, there's the issue of...
There's the issue of funding.
Funding.
Right. Yeah. If we're going to have a voucher system,
mm-hmm.
how do we make sure...
That all the
that all of the schools are adequately funded.
Right.
Because
if public schools are losing students
right.
to private schools,
right.
that means they're losing funding.
Right.
So how do we make sure?
And so Friedman's argument is that
competition,
competition will
force schools
yeah.
to become more efficient.
Right. But his critics worry
that it could lead to
yeah.
a race to the bottom
yeah.
where schools are cutting corners.
Yeah.
To save money.
And so then they're not
yep.
providing a quality education.
The quality education.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, this is a really important.
Yeah. It's a really important
point to consider.
Consideration.
Because it's not just about money.
Yeah.
It's also about.
It's also about the quality.
The quality of the education.
Of the education.
Right.
Yeah. And
so I think, you know, as we're
thinking
about all these issues.
Yeah, issues.
It's important to
yeah.
acknowledge the complexity.
The complexity. Yeah.
Right.
It's not a simple issue.
It's not a simple issue.
There's no easy answers.
There's no easy answers.
And so
we need to be
careful
about embracing
yeah.
simple solutions.
Simplistic solutions.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
We've talked about
vouchers.
Measures.
We've talked about choice.
Place.
We've talked about the role of government in education.
Yeah.
All sorts of things.
And so now I want to bring it back.
Yeah.
To that.
Think and act locally.
Think and act locally. Theme.
Theme.
Yeah.
So what does all of this mean?
For you.
For you in your community.
In your community.
Yeah.
So what are the strengths
yeah.
and weaknesses?
Of your local school system.
Of your local schools.
Right.
What are the demographics?
Yeah.
What are the socioeconomic factors?
Socioeconomic factors at play.
At play.
Right.
And most importantly, what can you do?
What can you do to get involved?
To make a difference.
To make a difference.
Yeah.
So are there...
So are there school board meetings?
School board meetings you can attend.
That you can attend.
Yeah.
Are there local organizations
that are working,
that are advocating
on yeah. these issues? Education reform?
Right.
Are there parent groups that are...
Yeah. That are, you know...
Trying to improve their schools?
Trying to improve their schools. And
yeah.
I think, you know, it can feel overwhelming.
It can feel overwhelming.
To think about... To think about tackling
these firm. Big systemic issues. But remember,
that
even small actions
can
make a difference.
Can have a ripple effect.
Yeah.
So start by
yeah.
having conversations.
Talking to your friends.
With your friends and family.
Yeah.
Your neighbors.
Your neighbors.
Share what you've learned.
Share what you've learned from this deep dive.
From this deep dive.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Go to a school board meeting.
Volunteer at a local school.
Volunteer at a local school.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Get involved.
Get involved in your community.
In your community.
And I think, you know, one of the things that...
One of the things that really struck me
yeah.
about this episode
yeah.
was how yeah. Friedman uses these very vivid examples
right.
to illustrate his points.
Like the two high schools.
Like the two high schools.
Right.
You know?
And it's such a powerful...
Yeah, it's such a powerful...
Reminder that.
Reminder that these yeah. abstract debates about policy
right.
have very real consequences
yeah.
for people's lives.
For students' lives.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think he does a really good job.
He's a really good job.
Yeah. Of
using storytelling.
Of making these ideas.
To make these complex ideas.
Relatable.
Relatable.
Right. And whether you agree with him or not.
I think it's important to.
To at least engage with his ideas.
Engage with his ideas.
And think about.
Yeah.
You know what they mean.
What they mean.
For you.
For your
community. Your community.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, one of the things that he's really trying to do
yeah.
in this episode is to get people to think differently.
Is to challenge the status quo.
To challenge the status quo.
Right.
And I think, you know.
He does a good job of that.
He does a good job of that.
Yeah.
Even if you disagree with his conclusions,
right?
I think it's important to at least consider.
Consider his argument.
That's Fred's argument.
And I think, you know, yeah. one of the things that he's really advocating for.
Is for people to.
Is for
reshape of their education.
Proactive.
Yeah.
Right.
To be more engaged
yeah.
in the process.
In the process.
Yeah.
And I think that's something.
That's something we can all agree on.
We can all agree on.
Yeah.
Right?
Regardless of.
Regardless of.
Our political beliefs.
Political beliefs.
Or
our funny economic yeah. philosophy or whatever.
So as we wrap up this deep dive.
Right.
I want to leave you with a few key takeaways.
Right.
First.
Yeah.
Education is not one size fits all.
Right.
Different students have different needs.
Right.
Different communities have different needs.
Different communities have different resources.
Right.
Different challenges.
And so we need to be mindful.
We need to be mindful of that.
Of that as we're.
Since we're designing
our education systems.
Our education systems.
Yeah.
Second.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to challenge the status quo.
Right.
Just because something has always been done a certain way.
Doesn't mean it's the best way.
Doesn't mean it's the best way.
Yeah.
And I think, you know,
and
Friedman is a really good example of that.
He's a great example of somebody who was not afraid to challenge conventional wisdom
and
to say, hey, maybe we need to rethink
yeah.
how we're doing things.
And I think, you know.
And I think
that's a really valuable.
That's a really valuable
perspective to have.
Perspective.
Right.
Yeah.
And finally.
Finally.
Remember that you have a voice.
Right.
Get involved in your community.
Get involved.
You know, attend those school board meetings.
Yeah. Talk to your elected officials.
Talk to your elected officials.
Support organizations.
Support
organizations that are working to improve education.
To improve education.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And I think, you know.
Yeah.
The future of education.
The future of education.
Yeah.
Depends on engaged citizens.
Engaged citizens.
Who are willing to think critically.
To think critically.
Ask tough
questions. And demand better.
And demand better for our kids.
Our kids.
So we hope this deep dive.
This deep dive.
Has given you some food for thought.
Some food for thought.
And inspired you.
And inspired you.
To take action.
To take action.
So thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us.
Until next time.
Until next time.
Keep learning.
Keep learning.
Keep questioning.
Keep questioning.
And keep diving deep.
And keep diving deep.
But we've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
We've talked about vouchers.
We've talked about choice. We've talked about the role of government in education, all sorts of things.
And so now I want to bring it back.
Yeah.
To think and act locally.
Think and act locally theme.
Theme.
Yeah.
So what does all of this mean for you in your community?
For you in your community.
Right. So what are the strengths
and weaknesses
of your local school system?
Of your local schools.
Right. What are the demographics? What are the socioeconomic factors at play? Right. And most importantly, what can you do to get involved to make a difference?
To make a difference, yeah.
So are there school board meetings you can attend?
That you can attend.
Yeah. Are there local organizations that are working?
They're advocating for education reform.
On these issues, right? Are there parent groups
yeah. that are trying to improve their schools.
Trying to improve their schools.
Yeah.
And I think it can feel overwhelming.
It can feel overwhelming.
To think about tackling these big issues.
These big systemic issues.
Right. But remember.
But remember that even small actions can have a ripple effect.
Yeah. So start by talking to your friends.
With your friends and family, your neighbors, share what you've learned from this deep dive.
You know, go to a school board meeting.
Volunteer at a local school.
Volunteer at a local school.
Right.
Right. Get involved in your community.
In your community.
And I think one of the things that
really struck me about this episode was how Friedman uses these very vivid examples to illustrate his points, like the two high schools, you know, and it's such a powerful reminder that these abstract debates about policy have very real consequences for people's lives.
For students' lives.
Yeah.
Right. And I think he does a really good job of using storytelling to make these complex ideas relatable.
Relatable, yeah.
And whether you agree with him or not, I think it's important to at least engage with his ideas and think about what they mean for you, for your community.
Yours, for your community, yeah.
And so I think one of the things that he's really trying to do in this episode is to get people to think differently, to challenge the status quo.
To challenge the status quo. And I think he does a good job of that. Even if you disagree with his conclusions, I think it's important to at least consider
his arguments.
His arguments.
And I think one of the things that he's really advocating for is for people to be more proactive.
To take ownership of their education.
Right. To be more engaged in the process. And I think that's something we can all agree on.
That's something we can all agree on.
Right.
Yeah, regardless of our political beliefs or our economic philosophy or whatever.
Right.
So as we wrap up this deep dive,
I want to leave you with a few key takeaways.
Right.
First, education is not one size fits at all. Different students have different needs.
Yeah.
Different communities have different needs.
Different communities have different resources, different challenges.
Right. And so we need to be mindful of that as we're designing our education systems.
As we're designing our education systems, yeah.
Second, don't be afraid to challenge the status quo. Just because something has always been done a certain way doesn't mean it's the best way. And I think, you know, Friedman is a really good example of that.
He's a great example of somebody who was not afraid to challenge conventional wisdom and to say, hey, maybe we need to rethink how we're doing things.
And I think that's a really valuable perspective to have.
It's a really valuable perspective, yeah.
And finally, remember that you have a voice. Get involved in your community. You know, attend those school board meetings.
Yeah. Talk to your elected officials. Support organizations that are working to improve education.
Right. And I think the future of education depends on engaged citizens like you who are willing to
think critically, ask tough questions, and demand better for our kids.
So we hope this deep dive has given you some food for thought and inspired you to take action. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us.
Until next time, keep learning, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.
And keep diving deep.